Sunday marks 40 years since the start of the Watergate scandal. On June 17, 1972, in the very early morning hours, people who broke into the Democratic National Committee headquarters were arrested. That led to a whole chain reaction that eventually resulted in the resignation of President Richard Nixon. One of the key figures in the Watergate operation, of course, was G. Gordon Liddy, the man who spearheaded the break-in in the Watergate complex where the Democratic National Committee headquarters were. And he's now, of course, my colleague here at the Radio America Network. I recently had the occasion to visit with Mr. Liddy, and he explained how this whole saga began.
I was down in the office of what came to be known as the plumbers. I was called by Eagle Crow, who was an assistant to John Ehrlichman. And he said, John Dean wants to pitch you on something. And he said, I think I, meaning Crow, ought to be there. That's because nobody trusted John Dean. So I went up to Dean's office. He said that he wanted an intelligence operation to operate against the Democratic Party in the 1972 election. He wanted me to be in charge of it and Mr. E. Howard Hunt, whose background was a CIA officer, to be assisting me. And he said he wanted an all-out, full-bore offensive and defensive intelligence operation.
Liddy and Hunt put together a plan that was initially rejected by higher-ups in the administration, largely because it was too expensive. A second plan was also rejected for similar reasons. Finally, a third plan was given the green light. It was up to Liddy and Hunt to determine where they might go looking for some sensitive intelligence information on the Democratic plans. And ultimately, the focus became on the Democratic National Committee headquarters in the Watergate complex, but not necessarily for the reasons you might think.
The FBI was investigating not one, not two, but three separate call girl operations back then. The assistant United States attorney who was in charge of that was a man named John Rudy. He testified that the FBI came to him and said, we have found a connection between the call girl ring that's being run out of the Columbia Plaza apartments, which is across the street from the Democratic headquarters.
Liddy and his team of operatives conducted surveillance on the Watergate and quickly figured out a way that they could slip into the Democratic headquarters. They monitored a cleaning crew, which did not follow protocol by routinely locking and unlocking the doors to the DNC headquarters with a key. Liddy saw opportunity, but it was also the reason the plan was compromised.
Crews like that, they always do things the easiest way. And the easiest way was not to use the key and do it like that. You would open it the first time. They would just bump it with their hip to bring more stuff in and open it and close it that way. So our surveillance detected that, and we figured, all right, that'll be what we'll do. We watched what they did, and they put tape across the spring-loaded lock so they could bump it back and forth, and that's what we did. The security guard, he came by, and he saw the tape, and he said, oh, geez, they've done it again. He ripped it off, started making his rounds again. We put the tape back on, and that was our mistake, because he came around again, he saw the tape a second time, and he knew that the cleanup crew had left. So then the question in his mind was, who put the tape on there? Wait a minute, we got a problem. And he called the police.
Police searched the burglars and found clues that led them back to the White House, meaning this was going to be a burglary that got a lot more attention than most others in Washington. And it didn't take much more investigating to lead authorities to Liddy himself. By January 1973, he had been convicted on multiple felonies and was sentenced to 20 years in prison. But between the time of his arrest and his sentencing, some 7 months later, Liddy became famous for not saying anything. He saw that keeping his mouth shut was the best way to limit damage to the Nixon administration.
It concerned me that it was a threat to the administration. I wanted to preserve the administration of Richard Nixon, and I knew that if I didn't talk, it would secure those above me. So I didn't talk. But Dean cracked and talked. That's brought down Richard Nixon.
By the time Dean cracked, as Liddy puts it, Mr. Liddy himself was already serving his prison sentence. When word reached him in lockup that Dean had testified and greatly imperiled the Nixon administration, Liddy was deeply disappointed, but not at all surprised.
I said to myself, this is consistent with what we have always known about Dean. Now, what do I mean by that? When I first went over to the White House, Donald Santorelli, Deputy Attorney General, said, beware Dean, beware Dean. He said, Dean's the kind of guy, you'll be typing away an idea you have. Dean will come over and say, what are you doing? And you'll tell him. And then it's lunchtime, and everybody will go to lunch except Dean. And Dean will stay back, not have lunch, type up a memo with your idea, and submit it. He said he's an idea thief.
Liddy's 20-year prison sentence was commuted by President Carter in 1977, and Liddy was paroled in September of that year, serving nearly 5 years in federal prison, longer than anyone else affiliated with the Watergate scandal. Following his release, Liddy found success as an author, in show business, and eventually, of course, in talk radio. 40 years after the Watergate break-in, he is still, of course, most closely associated with that chapter in American history. Opinions on Mr. Liddy still run very strong. Many people admire him for his fidelity to his colleagues and to the administration and the president that he worked for. Others believe he put politics ahead of the law and the good of the country. But for Mr. Liddy, the good of the country is exactly why he did what he did.
I saw the Democrats as being dangerous to the country. I see the Democrats now as being even more dangerous to the country. And I wanted to prevent them from being able to damage the country further. So I chose to make use of the special knowledge that I had as a result of the FBI and so forth. That was it.
I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.